Hi, it's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio, where a lot of the talking is done by you, the listeners, the Take Two family, because you are the ones who drive the program with your takes, your wisdom, your inspiration, your lived experiences. And we're going to tap into those lived experiences today, Debbie, and ask people an important question. We've done this show before and really had some amazing calls about this.
We have. This was a very active show when we visited it last time, and so now we're going to revisit it, and that's a good thing. So basically, we're asking you if you could hit the reset button, okay? If you could hit the reset button, what would you do over if you had the chance to do it again in your life? What would you do over? You hit the reset, saying, do over. Well, I've got something pretty big, Jerry, that actually I couldn't wait to share today. I was going to share it with you on Friday. So, you know, everybody made me wait an extra couple days before I could share this because I'm hitting the reset button in a big way.
Yeah,
I'm really excited. And so, yeah, there's one thing that I wished I could do over, and I am doing it over.
Good. What about you, Take Two family? If you look back over your life, what is one thing that you wish you could do over again? Life is full of decisions and choices. We make them every day. Some we look back on and wish we had decided or chosen differently. It could be something minor. It could be something major. Perhaps you took a job. Maybe you left a job, divorced your spouse, decided not to have more children. It could be really big picture things like that, or maybe something not quite as significant. But you need to fill the phone lines because they're going to get quick filled up fast here at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
So what would you do over if you had the chance? We want to hear from you. Like Jerry said, the number is 833-288-3986. Aren't you going to ask me what it is that I'm hitting the reset button?
Eventually, yeah. I just wanted to set up
gonna
the program.
You're going to make me wait even longer? I waited a couple days. I'm super excited.
I just wanted
excited.
To give the number out and make sure all people right, had, right. Had the number to call in. But
now can I tell you? Now?
Sure.
Now? Wasn't that the movie? What was that? What was that movie? Finding Nemo or something? Mine. Okay, so I totally understand. Please don't send me any emails and tell me how bad it is for my joints and legs and knees. I get it. I've done it before. But I am training for a half marathon.
Wow.
Yes, I'm going back
you
to
rock.
Running. Well, I used to run years
right.
ago when I was, and I loved it. It's so freeing. And so I am doing it over, and folks, you'll be very proud of me. I've got all of the highly advanced sneakers and everything that help with the running on pavement and the, how it's, cause it does really pound your knees and your joints and stuff. And so I'm not getting any younger, but I'm super excited. And so it's going to take me, you're not gonna believe this, Jerry, almost 6 months before I'm ready to run 13 miles.
I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at it. It would take me about six years just to get up the courage to try something like that. I've never been much of a runner though. I admit that.
Mm-hmm.
That was due to my having club feet when I was born. I did a lot of running, playing basketball and things, but never really jogging, excuse me, or running distances. So I'm proud of you, Deb. I'm sure the whole Take Two family will be proud of you.
Thank you. And Marty's excited too because he goes, can I train along with you? I said, sure. I said, it's because you have to build up, you know, the endurance and everything, and you do longer runs and shorter, and, you know, and it's just really exciting. I'm super, super thrilled about it. And so, yeah, I'm hitting the reset button because I think the last time I ran a half marathon was, like 15, 20 years ago. I think I could do it, Jerry. I hope I don't like die.
Well, what made you decide this? And is there a race in mind
yes.
that you're going to be signing up for?
Yes. My girlfriend has, she works at a nonprofit, and she asked me if I would join her. And then another friend of mine asked if I would join her on a shorter run. And so I thought, you know what, I'm putting the two together. You know how I do a clean eating diet. You know, I know a lot of people keep asking me, tell me what your health regimen. I do a Mediterranean diet, sort of like a slash Mediterranean slash paleo diet. I do all whole food, everything. And I really love to be outdoors. And I don't know why I started this when it's 115 degrees here in Arizona, but oh well.
It may get you, it'll either get you in shape faster or you'll collapse out there when you're training one day.
Right.
All right, here we go. Give the phone number out. What is one thing you would do over again? Take two listeners if you had the opportunity to do it. 833-288-3986. Maybe you looked at houses at one point, you were buying a house, you passed one over, you got into another one, and then you just realized, oh, if I could do that over again, I would have gotten that house back there. Or maybe it's just something as difficult as maybe you committed a crime and you had to spend a little time behind bars. This is a safe show, no judgment show. We're just talking about real, raw things of life right here. Maybe you stopped short of getting your college degree. Maybe you made a hurtful comment to someone. This is where we just have a real-life conversation and we all learn from one another at 833-288-3986.
We count on you each and every program. So you typically fill up the phone lines, and that's a good thing because it makes it move very quickly. We learn a lot. We grow. We walk away a little bit changed, a little bit better understanding of ourselves, the world around us, hopefully closer to God. But we can't do that without you. So we're asking you to please put down anything you're doing right now and pick up the phone at 833-288-3986 and share something that you would do over if you had the chance to do it. Or maybe you are doing it over, or you're hitting the reset button like I am and starting anew. And that's a good thing. So we want to hear from you. Don't sit this out. Don't be entertained by our banter on this beautiful Monday morning. We want to hear your bright and shining voice.
We sure do. And we have a couple of open phone lines still available if you would like to be a part of the first series of callers at 833-288-3986. Real quickly, I'll briefly share what's one thing that I would do over. When I was growing up, the five kids in our family actually, believe it or not, shared one bathroom. The only bathroom in the house that had a shower in it. And I used to throw cold water over the top of the shower onto my youngest brother, Jim, who's now big enough to kill me now. He was bigger than me back then, I think. But it was a plate glass shower door. And he used to just get so angry. But what could he do? I was his older brother, so he couldn't do anything. Except he threw cold water over the top of the shower door on me one time. And I got mad, and I turned around. And with my left arm, I wanted to push that shower door open so hard that it shattered, and I had two-inch deep holes in my left arm that had to be surgically repaired.
Ooh.
That is definitely something I would do over.
So join us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. What's one thing you would do over if you had the chance? Hitting that reset button. I love that. You just hit it, and then, wow, it's your whole life. You can just reframe things and everything just looks different. I got super excited today putting out my running shoes and getting all the you know, jogging attire. It's just really cool, Jerry, to have that when you hit that reset button, you just have a whole new direction, a whole new kind of plan for life. And it feels good, even if it's small or big. We want to hear from you. So if you have something that you wanted to reset or do over, call us, 833-288-3986.
These are always great exercises to take part in. We learn so much about ourselves, not just decision-making that we've done or mistakes that we made, but we hopefully are going to grow through these kinds of experiences. Life is a growth process, and part of that process, of course, is making decisions every day. And we have to make decisions. What do I want to have for breakfast? Okay, that's not a life-shattering choice, you know, a decision to make, unless you're deciding between eggs and strychnine or something, then it could be a real problem. But usually it's between eggs and cereal or something like that. But then life has all of these big decision, kind of crossroads, forks in the road, or so to speak, if you call them that. And it's really important, Debbie, and we could go in any one of different directions when we do make choices. And sometimes we all, I think, Deb, would you say we're all going to come up to a point in life where we say, I wish I could do such and such over again?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's part of our, just the way we process and we grow and we learn and we look back, we see different things. And yeah, I think it's, but I love what you said at the beginning, these are healthy exercises. I completely agree. And it's stuff that we can actually do again if we get creative. When you say that, Jerry, sometimes people say, well, I can't do that. It's gone. It's done. It's buried. It's dead. That's not necessarily true. There's a way you can look at it. We just got a voicemail that came in through the through the comment line. Dan from Tiffin, Ohio, he said if he had one thing he could do over again, he would have courted his wife properly. A real sequence of courting and dating properly before they got married. And I, you know what? I think, Dan, if you're listening, there's so many of us that feel that way, that sometimes it didn't go in the right order, and it would have been better if it did, because you could have learned things, you could have grown, you could have understood how God works when he brings two people together and the graces that flow from that. And there's so many things you can learn. So, but I say, this is what I say to Dan, start now. Pretend again, you know, that you're dating, and start over. You can do that. You can get creative, wouldn't you say, Jerry? Or you think it's too far-fetched?
No, I think something like that, absolutely. You can definitely go back in time, quote unquote, and maybe start a new regimen within the marriage, you know. And I think it would make both spouses feel younger again and probably fall more deeply in love with each other. And I think it could be a very, very helpful exercise, absolutely. We've got a couple folks still waiting to hear from a couple of you on these open lines at 833-288-3986. We're going to start with Alex and Teresa here in just a minute. But we're asking you today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, if you could look back over your life, there are probably a lot of things you could answer this to, but just look at maybe one thing, one decision, maybe a period in your life, something like that, that you wish you could do over, okay? And because, as Debbie said, maybe it's possible. Maybe you can do it over. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't that be quite an epiphany for you? 833-288-3986.
Okay, so Dan called on the comment line, but I think he's actually calling in right now. So maybe we'll get the full story of what he was sharing about that. So that'll be great. I shared it ahead of time. Isn't that great? I'm not a mind reader. Okay, we need to wave. Both of us need to wave to Ron, our friend Ron. He's waving to us right now. Okay, and he was a runner as well. See, a lot of people are saying cross country. Yeah, cross country is really cool. Here's the thing, folks. I think this, let me just go back to this. I think it is important what Jerry was saying about this being an important exercise, because where else are you going to process this and kind of dream about this and think about it and have those creative kind of feelings of making that happen in your life? When are you going to do this? Well, this is why this is a safe format for us to do this together. Let's try to walk away from this hour together with something that we're doing over, and we're hitting the reset button and doing it again. Okay, so look at it like that and see how this comes out. Mine is doing a half marathon. And yours, Jerry, you didn't want to put your arm through a glass shower door. Please don't ever do that again.
Okay.
See, that was taken care of. Okay.
That's dangerous. Boy, I processed that in my mind a million times. That happened, I was probably 17 when that happened.
Wow.
16, 17
years
old.
You could have died. I mean, what if a piece of glass like went into your neck or something?
Well, the nearest hospital that could take care of me was 50 miles away.
Ooh.
So I had to wait for an ambulance and then a car ride, and holding my arm up in the air, and every little twitch of movement just was excruciating. So I did learn. I still remember that. I will never, ever, ever pour cold water over the top of a shower on anybody again, because that brings bad things upon you.
Yes. I need to know if your mom was like a true mom. As you were being driven to the hospital, was she half caring for you and half yelling at you?
Half lecturing me about doing stuff like that. I think the scolding part waited, but I'm sure it came at some point. I deserved it too. I really did.
Yeah. Dangerous. Wow. Okay, but you left that past behind. You don't do that anymore. And but right. We want to hear from our Take Two family what they want to redo, or is it redo or do over? I guess it's either way, right?
Yeah, or revisit. Maybe wish they had done differently or change or what have you. So
okay, so let's
a lot of
hear
ways
what
to look at it. Yeah.
Yep. Let's hear what Alex has to say. Alex in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Alex. Thanks for being first up, and welcome to Take Two.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm second time caller from Boston.
Nice. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. You got a great show. I always listen to your radio station. You know, thank God for Mother Angelica, and I was giving my blessing to her.
Yes.
And she should be a saint. Yeah. And I'm 57 years old. I'm from Boston. original from Costa Rica, but one thing I regret, and I would love to reset my life because something is eating me alive every day. And the first time I called here, it was a long time ago, about 3 years ago, and I had the same issues. The only thing I will say, that I'm going to be very briefly, is I will go back in 1983 or 84 when my girlfriend, future wife, got pregnant, and she did abortion. And that's the only thing I regret in my life. Because I know I don't have peace with God. I tried. And that's one thing. It's eating me alive every day. Yeah. That's what I have to say.
Yeah. Alex, was that something that you encouraged her to do, or had, did you participate in that in some way, drive her to the abortion clinic?
I told her, no. I said, no, we Catholics, you cannot do that. I married you.
Okay.
She was my girlfriend. We were even engaged. I said, please, don't do this. Don't do it. And the same thing when we got divorced. I said, my daughter was 8, 10 years old. I said, please, we have 3 kids. She said, no, I'm getting divorced. I said, no, you can't. You know, you have to be with you all my life. She said, no. And, you know, she's after 20 years being married, you know what I mean? Or,
okay.
And yeah, I was like 22, but it's no excuse. The age is no excuse because I told her, let's talk to your mother. Let's talk to the family. And she said, no, this baby's going to ruin my life. I said, why? A baby is a blessing. It's not. Nothing that you can do about it, you know?
So, Alex, if I may ask, and I don't want to ask anything too personal or anything, but do you have a sense of why? I mean, it's obvious the fact that it happened certainly could be, like you said, eating you alive every day. But beyond that, do you feel in any way guilty about this, or is that part of what you're experiencing?
In a way, yeah, because I feel like I should have done more to stop her at the time. And you know, I was in love, and I said, no, don't do it. And she says, yeah, I got to do it because we're going to get married. I said, no, this is, don't matter. You're not going to be the first one. You're not going to be the last one, you know. And I have 3 little kids. I have 3. Oh, my boy's 31. My daughter is 26, and my other daughter is 21, and I see them. I say, I love them so much. They love me so much, too. They have a lot of respect for me. We got a great relationship, and I say, why one more? Why, you know, mm-hmm. he will be almost 40, you know?
Yeah.
So he, she. Yeah.
Well, Alex, it's a heartbreaking situation that you're describing here. You may have done some of these things already, but there are things you can do, really, to go back, maybe not to make the whole situation right, but if you can pray for that little child that was aborted, maybe you've been doing that already, perhaps think of a name think of a name that you would have given that baby, and perhaps just have a conversation, talk to that child, and, you know, we trust that they are with God, in however that may be understood. And maybe they can be interceding on behalf of you, you know. But Debbie, this is, you know, I really would hope and pray, Debbie, that Alex would not be too burdened by guilt in this. I mean, there may have been something more he could do, but it seems like if his fiance, his girlfriend, was determined to get an abortion, it was going to happen anyway. Somehow.
True. And Alex, I know you've done this already, but you, like you said, you know, in confession and everything, when we're forgiven for things we should have done or maybe could have done, or we didn't, you know, we should have stepped up in a certain time or whatever. And sometimes we walk out of the confessional and we still carry those feelings with us. Have you thought about reaching out to Rachel's Vineyard? And so it's so interesting because our call screener just typed this over at the same time. A caller, Mary, called in and suggested Rachel's Vineyard for you, Alex. And I was thinking the exact same thing. Have you thought about reaching out to them to see if there was somebody you could talk to or to attend something to help you lift these feelings of still carrying this with you? Because sometimes, you know, these heavy burdens get attached to us that they're already it's time for us to maybe move on from it. And if you can't, and if it's still, you said it bothers you each and every day, have you thought about reaching out to some of the fine folks at Rachel's Vineyard and to see if there's somebody you can talk to help you lift this burden of that feeling you feel, whatever the feelings that are attached to it? Have you thought about that,
I'm
Alex?
Yeah, I'm going to Google it. And by the way, I will do it today or tomorrow. I'm gonna give him a call, and I'm so, you know, like right now I'm so happy because I got everything going for me. Like my kids, they love me. I got a great relationship with my kids, and the thing is, it's one thing that I was in my mind. What if, you know? By the way, the name was gonna be Daniel.
That's beautiful.
I love that name.
Name. That's my son. That's my son's name. It's a beautiful name. But you know what? Rachel's Vineyard or the folks there will be able to really assist you through this. And you can still, like Jerry said, you'll still be able to have Daniel as a part of your life and your spiritual life. And I really think you should do it. Now is the day. You know, this is the day. God is very clear about it. He's a God of now. And you're calling in. Again, thank you so much. The second time you've called, and I love that. So there's a reason, Alex, and I think it's time. It's time for you to reach out to get that that assistance so you can process through this. Okay.
Okay, Rachel Viner. I'm gonna Google it later on, and I'm gonna give them a call or something. Definitely a call. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think you'll be very happy, very pleased.
All right. Thank you so much, and thank you, and God bless, and keep going. Keep going and never give up. I love your show.
thank you, Alex. We love you too. Thanks for the phone call. And our prayers go with you. Definitely be assured of that. What's one thing you could do over, go back and change if you had the chance? 833-288-3986. Dan is next in Tiffin, Ohio. I guess he texted Debbie, then he decided to call in, listening on St. John Paul the Great Radio. Hi, Dan. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Dan.
Hello. Good to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, Dan. Dan. I already shared your because you had called and left a message on the listener line. So I already shared what you were going to talk about it, doing it over again, courting properly with your wife. But you can fill in the details. So I'll leave that up to you.
Right. So I thank you very much. So I had heard some of it. I was running errands, so I thought I'd call in while I was running some errands, and then I heard you speak of it. I just can't impress upon the young men out there who may be in a similar scenario like I was 35 years ago and just wished I had not made some choices that made moving into marriage quicker and that I could have fully courted my wife for at least a solid year and really gotten to know her. Now, fast forward, we celebrated 35 years back in March. But it's a very critical function to do as a gentleman to courting the potential future wife and the lifelong commitment that you want to make and to show her how much you respect her by taking the lead up in time of courting and all the wonderfulness of what occurs, of getting to know each other and slowly bearing your soul in that full kind of merging and then the matrimonial process taking place.
Right. Tell you what, Dan, we're going to have to pause here just for a second and let our affiliates across the country do some local business there, some announcements and so forth. So stay with us, Dan. You are talking about something, and I hope and pray that every young man is listening right now, young women as well. This is so very important. People call to be married. If you believe it's your vocation, get to know one another, spend that time together, especially spiritual time, and the marriage will be so much better off. We're going to hear more from Dan on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie in just a minute. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on this Monday, talking with Dan in Tiffin, Ohio. What is one thing you would do differently or change in some way from previously in your life? 833-288-3986. And Dan, I'm so glad that you are going in the direction you're going with this. You're talking about the importance of making sure that you are courting, dating, getting to know one another, your spouses, your, you know, the future spouse and so forth. And I'm sure you are planting a lot of seeds, hopefully, God willing, in the minds of young people like yourself, like you were then at the time. I'm sure you're young now, Dan, no offense, but you mentioned 35 years. You mentioned 35 years of marriage recently. You're saying that you wish you could have or would have maybe gotten more serious about the courting and the leading up to the marriage. But what has been since you've been married? What do you think it is? If you could point to one thing that has helped you and your wife, you know, maintain these 35 years and, God willing, many more.
Well, we share the Catholic faith. My wife is a first-generation Italian-American, and I'm sure Debbie can relate to a Scotch-Irish, person of Scotch-Irish descent coming into an all-Italian first-generation family. Let's just say the barriers are a little higher for any man wanting to marry said first-generation Italian woman. But my, you know, my faith was, yeah, I know, go ahead. Fill in the blanks as you wish.
Yeah, but, I'm cracking up.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that it reminds me of the movie, The Big Fat Greek Wedding. Right, Dan?
Oh, we watch it all the time. And you can remove the background of Greek and fill in any other background for the most part.
True.
And it's a cultural movie that's timeless. We love watching it together. We still crack up. It's something that we share. We probably watch it at least once a year together. But you know, we share the same faith, and that faith brought us together, and we did marry in the Catholic Church and are still there. And, you know, since then, my faith formation has really skyrocketed through our men's group that we have. I'm a Fourth Degree Knights of Columbus, avid practitioner in our Right to Life movement, Tiffin Right to Life committee there. So all that feeds itself, and my wife and I have been blessed with three kids and now working on grandchild number four.
Wow.
So all of that has come back, but I still, and I shouldn't, but I still kick myself that I just wish I could have had the Renaissance aspect of properly courting my wife over the period of a year, and I impressed that importance upon our kids.
Yeah.
I think that part's worked out well.
That's really good advice, I think, giving to your family, and also now you've given it to who's ever listening in the whole world, which is wonderful. But Dan, just to, you know, for fun, in a playful way, have you thought about, you know, kind of courting again and you know, picking a day and asking around on a date in the old fashioned way, like you would have if you really were courting and dating. And I think that would be really cool, just as kind of just a fun, playful way of resetting the button. What do you think?
Well, so we do. And so now all the kids are raised. The youngest is 30, and the oldest is 35. So we are empty nesters, other than when grandkids are visiting, et cetera. And we live in the country, so we have bonfires periodically. And every spring, I plant 500 feet of wildflowers across the front strip of our property. And that's the first thing she sees in the morning going to work and the last thing she sees coming home. Wow. I plant wildflowers, also plant sunflowers. And you can leave everything at the road before you pull down our lane. Mm-hmm. When you look at the sunflowers, you can't help but smile. So I do things like that. I don't know that I'm a Shakespearean romance, but, you know, this knucklehead tries anyway. And
I'm sure you do a great job. If a big, strong, tight Italian family is going to keep you around, Dan, I think you've done something right.
I appreciate the kind words.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you've gotten a lot of good food over the years, right?
More than a lot. I have to run. So you mentioned marathons. So I've done a number of marathons, and then my daughter and I have done some half marathons. It's that training that lets me eat the Italian way.
There you go. There you go. I love it, Dan. Well, thanks so much. Keep me in your prayers, since you're a fellow runner, too. And I'm going to need all the prayers I can get, because I just want to make sure.
Just remember this. It's your race. It's your pace. Don't get caught up on who's to the left and to the right and front. It's your race. Go with your pace.
I love that. It's my race, go my pace. I got it. Thanks, Dan. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you for gracing this conversation today.
Very good. Yeah, thanks, Dan, in Tiffin, Ohio. 833-288-3986. We heard from Mike, who's watching the stream of the video on EWTN's YouTube channel. And Mike says, if I could do one thing over, I would not drop out of college to join the anti-war movement in the 1970s. So there's something very, you know, very real, very serious, a serious moment in Mike's life. Debbie had to make a choice, and he would go back and do that over again.
But you can always go back and take classes, and I think that's a great thing to do at any age. I think I read somewhere just like several weeks ago, one lady that was in her 90s or something just got her college degree. Is that amazing?
Yeah, and did you see the news story on TV? I think the man was 103. On his 103rd birthday, he went skydiving.
Wow. Now that's amazing.
Well, he was being held by somebody, you know, by a professional.
But still, when you land, I mean, you know.
Yeah, he had to kind of slide in on his on his back and hold the man up on his stomach. It was really a beautiful thing, the way they did that.
Wow. Interesting. Okay, so it's never too late to hit that reset button. Let's hear what Deborah has to say. And Deborah's in Louisiana on Christ Our King Radio. Hi, Deborah. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hi.
Hello
Thank
there.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
very well.
Perfectly.
Okay. Yes. Oh, I'm in my car. First of all, I want to thank you too for your show. My job keeps me in my car, and I'm able to listen to you. And from EWTN and from your show, I have grown a lot in the Catholic faith. Oh. I want to thank you for that.
Thank
you're very
you
sweet,
so
Deborah.
Very
what thank
happened,
you.
What happened was I was brought up in a different faith. I'm a convert. And when I was 14, I was called to the mission field. And I was ready after high school to go to Bible college to become a missionary. Well, I chose the world, and I did not get to fulfill that. I have 3 children, 14 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren, and 1 great-grandchild on the way. I realize now that God has called me to my mission field is my family. My children were brought up in the Catholic faith, but they don't practice it anymore. I pray for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. My little grandson, Bo, he's 3, about to be 4. He said, Nana, can you please get me a book of baby Jesus? I don't know where he got that from. All I know is that I've been praying for him. So my mission field is my children, my great-grandchildren, and my grandchildren.
Wow. Deborah, that is just beautiful. Thank you. You're so inspiring. We can hear in your voice how much you really love this mission field of your family and how it's grown so much. Congratulations, and God's blessings to you on that. And, you know, when God gives us an invitation to do something, he always leaves us with choices. You know, we can choose to go in one direction or the other. Obviously, we want to choose rightly between a good and a bad, but you were just choosing, you know, whether or not to go into the mission field, and you chose not to. But, see, God looked at your heart, and he had placed that desire on your heart from all eternity to give people the faith, to evangelize, to raise people, to form souls, to be with him forever. And so whether that was out in some faraway land in the mission fields or right there at home under your own roof in that mission field, they're both equally important. In fact, maybe even, you know, Debbie, starting at home, we have to make sure our kids, grandkids, loved ones, that's, in a sense, that's our first and primary mission field. Doesn't mean people can't go to other, you know, faraway mission fields as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I agree with Jerry. You have a missionary heart. That is what God has you know, gifted you with. And this is a beautiful thing. This is, I think your story, it does inspire all of us, because God is going to still use those gifts in different ways. And so, yes, that opportunity that you had at that time to go and work in like maybe a faraway land and do something, that passed. Absolutely. It did pass. And maybe you can't revisit that right now. But where your mission field, like you're talking about in your own family, that's where you're most needed. And God will continue to bless that and use those gifts. And so I think it's your story is so perfect for all of us, Deborah, because, you know, so many of us have regrets and we think, why couldn't we just turn back the clock? But yet the gifts are still there and God will use those gifts in the ways that he sees fit. And you're being open to that. So I say blessings to you and your entire family. Jerry, I know you had something else to share.
Well, yeah, Deborah, your take on this reminds me of a very important situation in my own life. You may know from listening to this program, excuse me, that I was in formation for the Catholic priesthood for 6 years. And I ate that, I slept it, I drank it, I breathed it. It was just everything for me. And through discernment and talking to my spiritual director and my archbishop, I discerned that God wanted me to step out of that formation process, at least for a time. And then now I believe that it's probably permanent. But, you know, I look back on that and I thought, well, how can I help people then, God? You know, I have this priestly vocation. I can bring them the sacraments. I can preach. I can evangelize. I can baptize. I can marry people. And over the years, I've been in Catholic radio since then, Deborah, and so many people have said to me, you are reaching far more people now than you ever could as a priest. Now, I can't give them the sacraments, but I can take them to the sacraments.
That's right.
You see, so you and I share that, Deborah. It's still in my heart. It'll be in my heart until the day I die, as your desire to be a missionary will be in your heart the day you die. But I think we both can look ourselves in the mirror and say, God is using us in powerful ways. Blessed be his holy name. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Deborah?
I think you're absolutely right. I'm sorry, I'm crying.
It's okay.
What you said is true, and I am inspired by it, because what God had chosen for me, he's using me now for it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it is important for my children and my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
No, Lord.
Yeah. Well, think about it, Deborah. Think about it, Deborah. You're using your gifts and talents and your ability to impart the faith and be there for your family. That's for all of eternity. It doesn't end. It's just the beginning, and that's the beauty of it. I just say you are so perfect for this mission. First of all, your name is Deborah, and I'm sure if you haven't done it already, go into the Old Testament and read about Deborah being such a strong warrior, such a strong leader of people, and a person that inspires, that helps people to grow and to run the good race. That's in your name, Deborah. So it fits you perfectly. I say keep going and keep us posted, will you?
Oh, I will. Thank you so much. You guys inspire me so much. You don't know how much.
Oh.
You just don't know how much you do.
Well, we love you.
Praise God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And yeah, Deborah, as you share this part of your life that you feel might have been somewhat unfulfilled being a missionary, as you share that with your kids or your grandkids or your great-grandkids, how many times, Deborah and Debbie, do we see in a family that one of the future generations will take that maybe, I don't want to call it a missed opportunity, but will take that opportunity and fulfill what the previous generation in the family didn't do? So, Deborah, who knows, one of your offspring down the line somewhere could very well become that missionary that you wished you had been.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well said. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you so much. Let's move on to Greg, because Greg has also been waiting so patiently. And actually, Greg gets our virtual patience award today. We're sending it to Ohio. It's virtual. You're listening on The Rock. You're a first-time caller. Hi, Greg. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Debbie. Yeah. Hi. I have a medical emergency that I experienced this spring, and I wanted to share a brief witness of what that entailed that happened this February. So here's my witness. On a routine shopping trip on a sunny February morning, I came home to discover every spouse's horror. My spouse was sitting slumped over a chair. She was unresponsive when I called out to her, mumbling something I couldn't decipher. Unable to revive her, I called 911. The paramedics came within minutes and transported her to our local hospital. Once I navigated the emergency room protocol, I was rejoined with my wife to watch her in the middle of a memory test. Every question was answered the same, reciting her name. The final question was answered with a series of numbers, her birth date. The question they asked was, "What is your address?" At the conclusion of the test, I quietly entered her room, whereupon the nurse asked her, "Who is this man coming in your room? Your cousin, your dad, or your husband?" Her answer to the nurse was, "I don't know this man." Mm-hmm. Over the next 2 days of visits, I showed her recent pictures of the two of us. After close exam, she said, "Who are they?" When I showed her my wedding ring, she giggled and said, "Where did you get that?" And my daughter and 5-year-old grandson visited, with him saying over and over, "Hi, Grandma." After no response from the grandmother, he asked his mom, "Why doesn't Grandma say hi to me?" The mom replied, "Grandma doesn't know who you are." This innocent 5-year-old replied, "But I'm Donovan." The morning of the third day, she asked, "Who was I and why am I in her room?" So as not to upset her, I said, "I'm visiting." She repeated, "Who are you?" When I replied, "I'm a friend," she seemed pleased with that answer. The doctor said despite the obviously stroke symptoms, she did not have a stroke. Her ammonia levels were elevated, and with medicine, she should have normal levels within 48 hours. When I came back to the hospital after lunch, I entered her room to hear her say, "Hi, Greg, I want to go home." She said my name. The doctor said the medical rationale behind her memory loss. I counted my blessings for her quick recovery. My faith has only been strengthened by this episode. And that's my story about what could have been a stroke victim and a complete memory loss. But she was on her way home after 3 days in the hospital.
Wow. Wow. Praise God that she recovered so quickly, Greg, and that everything came back. You know, in her situation, she probably obviously wasn't realizing, you know, what was happening, you know, because she didn't recognize anybody or anything like that. But for you and your family members, you guys must have just been in horror, just saying, what do we do now? And the feeling of that. So it's truly a blessing that you have this opportunity again. And yeah, I mean, it does change you. I mean, look, it must have changed you dramatically in those couple days. But I want to just say this, though, Greg, the beautiful thing about what you went through is that it did have you realize things probably about your life and about your relationship with your wife and your family and everything. But you held on, the strength of you. You kept showing up even though she didn't recognize you. You were there. You kept going through it because of the love that you have. And that, I think, is so paramount to everything, that you hung in there. You didn't walk away and saying, "Oh my goodness, I can't deal with this. This is horrible. She doesn't even remember me." You kept coming back and you were gentle and kind and loving. And I just think the Lord has got to be delighted on the way you handled it, Greg.
And Debbie, that happened this February, but 3 days of just constant prayer and then coming to the hospital off and on and taking breaks and eating lunch. But the biggest thing is this month is our 25th wedding anniversary, and I feel so blessed that we made it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, like Debbie said, you persevered and persevered through a situation that you almost certainly had to have not known what the outcome was going to be. You know, is she ever going to recognize me again? What actually happened? Is she going to be, an invalid? Or, I mean, all of these questions are probably going through your mind, but you were thinking of only one thing, Greg, and that is, this is the woman I love, this is my wife, and I'm going to be here for her. I'm half of the sacrament with her, and mm-hmm. so I'm going to make sure that I'm here no matter what. Greg, you know, probably from listening to the program, we keep a book. Debbie writes first names only in our book of living and deceased, and we pray for these people every day that take two families. So we have you in the book already, and if you're comfortable, if not, say so, but if you're comfortable giving us your wife's first name, we will be happy to add her into that book as well to get some prayers going.
Yeah, Christine, and we love your show.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. How is Christine doing now? She's all recovered? Everything's working well?
Everybody at our church keeps asking, and I says, yeah, she's totally recovered her memory. Her balance is a little off, but her memory is totally on. And my brother, he lives out in Arizona. He gave me a suggestion. He's a real card. He said, now, the first time you take her out to dinner, just as a an aid for her, wear a name tag on you.
Oh, my goodness. You got to keep a sense of humor through all this, Greg. That's a good thing. I like yeah, exactly. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, keep us posted on how Christine's doing. I put down, we're going to actually pray specifically that her balance issues, everything straightens out there. So we'll be praying. And we're praying for you, too, and your entire family. So just know that. And thank you. Keep us posted, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, Greg. Great phone call. Great phone call. We got time for one more, I believe. It's Carmen in Tampa, Florida. First-time caller listening on Sirius XM 130 to EWTN Radio. Hi, Carmen. Welcome to Take Two.
Thank you. Yes, it's my first time calling, and I was in my car driving, and I changed the radio station, and I heard this gentleman talking about the abortion that he had in the past. And actually, I lead Project Rachel here in Tampa, and that's what I was calling, just to give him some comfort and to let him know that we'll know that we are forgiven. And if he already had the opportunity to talk to a priest and receive the reconciliation, you know, we're in good standings with God. The problem is sometimes that we do not forgive ourselves. And we are very good at, like, beating up ourselves all the time, like, how could that happen? And now I have my children, and they are so proud of me, and we have such a good relationship, but they don't know what I've done in the past. So I feel that sometimes that's a little cross that we need to carry till the day we die. And Project Rachel is a very good way to start that part of the healing. Because I always say when we have the abortion, there is no closure with the baby. You know, when you go and somebody dies, you go to a burial and there is a mass, and then you go to the cemetery. But in this case, you don't even have the chance to say bye to your child. Mm-hmm. And what Project Rachel brings is the opportunity to entrust that baby to God. And to, you know, like to have a closure in your life with that baby, and of course, become 100% pro-life, you know. And and I just wanted to share that with him and tell him that don't beat up yourself, you know, because God is all love, God is all merciful, and that's what he wants. He wants us to, you know,
well, Carmen,
towards him.
Yep. Carmen, I have to tell you, I hope Alex is listening, because that is so kind of you to call up and share. We had suggested Rachel's Vineyard, but there's Project Rachel as well. That's what you work with. And thank you so much for the ministry work you do with Project Rachel. But if Alex, if you're listening, see another confirmation, a beautiful confirmation from your sister in Christ, Carmen, calling in from the Take Two family, saying, please reach out and get this closure that you need so that you can move forward. Thank you, Carmen. Bless your heart for doing that today. I know if Alex is listening, he's probably just thanking you. So Jerry, another great discussion on do-overs and great participation.
Well, yeah, and I just want to remind you before we check out here for the day and turn things over to the Dr. Razin that EWTN Radio Essentials has, well, actually EWTN Radio Classics has temporarily become EWTN Radio Essentials. You can listen for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, celebrated every 2 hours, rosaries throughout the day, chaplets of divine mercy, stations of the cross, and other devotionals every hour. You can hear EWTN Radio Essentials on smart speakers, the EWTN app, and at EWTN.com.
And I just want to thank Janice. Janice, thank you so much in Beaverton, Oregon. Thank you so much for the beautiful email. I am actually going to print it out, put it on my refrigerator, because every time I have a difficult time training for this half marathon, I'm going to look at your email, and that'll keep me going. Thank you, Janice. That just made my day. Jerry?
I love Beaverton, Oregon. One of my favorite restaurants, Canyon Pearl, is still, I think, in the Beaverton area. So anyway, great job, you guys, today, as always, and another show, a full week of great shows coming up, because you make them so. In fact, tomorrow, we're going to be having our urgent prayer intention show, God, I Need You Now. So overnight, be thinking about and praying about what you would like the Take Two family to join you in prayer for. Until then, we want to wish you a beautiful and blessed day. We thank the show team and affiliates for their support.